Well, once again, Labas and good afternoon. This is Kaz Stotis today with us, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial and live streaming audio over the internet at ktym.com.
Nenori bridot jūs per sniegą, baltučiai tarsi jazminai, švietei tarsi rožiniais kruostais, tu skundėsi, kad sušalai. Švietei tarsi rožiniais kruostais, tu skundėsi, kad sušalai. Šildžiau užgeltas.
Well, of course, once again, it's unfortunate that we can't play more than about 30 seconds of these outtakes of music, but for those of you who missed the concert last weekend, that was Vytautas Landsbergis and friends singing patriotic and partizanu and or partisan freedom fighter themed songs from Lithuania. So I hope you enjoyed that. As always, we bring you the weather, and it's cold. Even though it's not that cold, tonight it's going to be 16 degrees in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. Tomorrow, Sunday, 21. Not too bad, huh? Monday, all the way up to 28, a low of 3. And then temperatures start evening out. 22 degrees, Wednesday, 30 degrees, Thursday, 30 degrees, Friday starting to drop again to 27. Nights in the teens, and that means freezing roads and sliding around. So if you happen to be in the capital of Lithuania, or anywhere in Lithuania for that matter, watch your driving, especially at night. Of course, on our community calendar, a few things are coming up, and you know, perhaps worth mentioning is Bernardo Brazdžionio Gimtadienis, which is our very own Bernardas Brazdžionis. He was a very famous poet, and he lived here in Los Angeles. And on the 2nd of February, okay, next week, basically, 2nd of February, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there'll be a little memorial celebration for him, or a commemoration, rather, of his life. Next to the old nunnery, there's sort of a memorial plaque, or for lack of a better word, you know, sort of a monument to him. And there'll be a little gathering there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on February 2nd. February 2nd. Vasario antra, Bernardo Brazdžionio Gimtadienio minėjimas. Now, he's written a lot of beautiful work, and, you know, we're not going to get into it now because simply, there's no way I can translate it for you, but there's Rudno Šukas, which is, you know, about the brown-nosed bear, and every Lithuanian child knows that story, has heard that story in the United States. And the beauty of it is that it was written here, and that in Lithuania it has been adopted and in other words, it was written in Lithuanian, and in Lithuania it is used now in schools, in textbooks. So Bernardas Brazdžionis has sort of come full circle from being a refugee, from writing in the United States, to being published now in Lithuania and recognized in Lithuania for his talents. So if you would choose to honor him on February 2nd at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there will be a memorial celebration, a memorial commemoration at St. Casimir's parish grounds there next to the nunnery. Don't forget that on the 7th, the Clippers versus the Raptors, where you'll get to see our very own Valančiūnas, the Lithuanian Valančiūnas, who's playing for the Raptors, hopefully beat the Clippers. Again, that's on February 7th at 7:30 in the evening. Of course, briefly, I want to remind you that Vasada Šešiolikta is coming up. That's Lithuanian independence on the 16th, celebrated on the 16th at 12:30 in the afternoon at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. That's Lithuanian Independence Day. More details to follow. And, of course, Blynų Balius. What is it, the 55th, 56th, 57th? I don't even know anymore. I'll have to follow up on that, too, and give you more details. But at 6 o'clock in the evening on the 22nd of February will be the Pancake Ball Blynų Balius Lithuanian Mardi Gras. Always a blast. Always a sellout. You want to make sure that you make plans to attend this event. And finally, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but we have Kazuko Muget. We always support Lithuanian scouting, and that always happens on the first Sunday of March. And this year, that happens to be March 2nd. So March 2nd, Kazuko Muget, commemorating and celebrating Lithuanian scouting. Come support Lithuanian scouting on March 2nd at St. Casimir's Parish Grounds, indoors and outdoors. Great food and entertainment. March 2nd, Kazuko Muget, named after St. Casimir's. That, again, is March 2nd at St. Casimir's Parish Grounds. And, of course, again, as I said, details to follow in the coming weeks. Now, if you listened to our program last week, you probably didn't hear about this, even though the week before we brought it up. That's the Scandinavian Film Festival, in which a Lithuanian movie or two were showcased. Frankly, I wanted you to go to St. Casimir's and see our very own Vytautas Landsbergis from Lithuania, hear him sing and perform, and see his film Saturday and Sunday. But that's my own personal prejudice. On the other hand, the film festival happened, it was successful, and it showcased a Lithuanian film. The 15th annual Scandinavian Film Festival took place in L.A. last week between the 18th and the 26th of January. Since 1999, it has featured Nordic films in Southern California, with a feast of films from Denmark, Finland, Iceland, Norway, and Sweden, and now Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. Thanks to a special collaboration with the Film Festival and the Baltic Honorary Consulate in Los Angeles, this year's program was supplemented by the exciting debut of the Baltic Film Expo. Lithuanian Honorary Consul in Los Angeles, Daiva Navaret, commented on the event. In a town where life largely revolves around film and entertainment, we've taken a cinematic approach to promoting the Baltic countries to a larger Los Angeles audience. Baltic Film Expo provides a unique opportunity for the Los Angeles film community to explore and discover new cinematic offerings from Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. Lithuania's participation in the film festival was made possible due to the support of Lithuania's Ministry of Culture and the Lithuanian Film Center. This year, all three Baltic countries submitted their films to be considered for the Oscars Best Foreign Language Film nomination. And it is these films that were showcased at the Baltic Film Expo. Lithuania screened its Oscar entry, which is called Conversations on Serious Topics, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago on this program, a documentary directed by Giedrė Beinoruta. Although Lithuania, after it had achieved independence in 1991, has been invited to submit a film every year, this is only the sixth film that Lithuania has submitted for Oscar consideration since 2006. Lithuanian composer Gediminas Gelgotas, who wrote the music for Conversations, attended the opening night gala of the Scandinavian Film Festival in Beverly Hills on Saturday on the 18th of January. And we must say it was quite the success. We'll be right back. Now, I don't know about you, but that accordion music you just heard, yes, accordion music you just heard by Martinas Levitskis is something you missed if you sat on your behind and did not go to one of the couple of concerts he had in Orange County in San Diego last week. Of course, now it's too late, but there you go. This is a young man who is out to set the record straight that the accordion is just not a musical instrument to play polkas by. It is a serious instrument, and I think he's proving his point. Martinas Levitskis. And anyway, hope you enjoyed that. That was from his album, simply called Martinas Levitskis. The first cut, known as Four Seasons, Winter by Martinas Levitskis. Now on to some serious news, and some of the most serious news coming out of Europe is from the Ukraine. A second injured Ukrainian protester is coming to Lithuanian hospital for treatment. Another injured participant of the Euromaidan protest in the Ukraine is being airlifted to Lithuania for treatment. He will be airlifted to Vilnius this past Thursday. He was, and was met by doctors, and was immediately escorted to the Kaunas Clinic. No information has been provided about his condition and injuries ultimately. The spokeswoman also confirmed that another 8 Ukrainian citizens injured during the protest will be brought to Lithuania next week. If you've been watching the news, the Ukrainians are in the streets protesting what has been going on, and the fact that Ukraine has been forced by many, felt to be forced at least, to lean east rather than west, which was Lithuania's goal as head of and president of the European Union in Lithuania. Regular listeners of the program will know that the Russians have boycotted Lithuanian products over the past several months. It's sort of a political move to show their clout against Lithuania, especially because Lithuania is threatening to become energy independent through various means. We won't go into that right now. But the news is Russia's consumer protection watchdog, known as Rospotrebnadzor, I'm not going to try to say that again, has lifted the ban on the importing of products from Lithuanian milk processing company Pieno Žvaigždės, that is star milk, milk of stars. The information was announced on the official website of the Russian agency. According to experts, this decision was made after having investigated additional documents presented by Lithuania on December 17th. According to the information presented in the documents, Lithuania made every effort to ensure that production met the microbiological requirements. Moreover, Lithuania heightened the production controls, changed the make of the products, whatever that means, and arrange new labels containing all the components of the product. According to a spokesman from the State Food and Veterinary Service, the service's specialists had seen the official announcement on Russia's official website, but they had not received any official message from the Russians themselves. Meanwhile, Pieno Žvaigždės, the Lithuanian company, said in a statement that it is going to restore exports to Russia as soon as possible. Of course, it's a huge market, and hopes that the Russian market will also open themselves to other Lithuanian dairy companies in the quickest future, soon as possible, in other words. Quote, "We are very glad to hear the news about restoring exports of our production to Russia, as the market of the neighboring country is very important to us," said the company. Pieno Žvaigždės thanks the Lithuanian government for constructive cooperation with the representatives of Russia's institutions on lifting the ban of dairy products to Russia, as well as advisor to the Prime Minister Antanas Vinkus and director of the company Jonas Milius for a huge contribution to this process. It was back on October 7th, think about that, October 7th, that Russia's Federal Service on Customers' Rights Protection and Human Well-Being Surveillance suspended dairy imports from Lithuania to Russia, a move many consider to have a political basis, no kidding, my comment, connected to the then upcoming Vilnius summit and efforts to have Ukraine sign an association agreement with the European Union. Now Ukrainians are being beaten in the street by their own police because of the decision of Ukraine. Restrictions were imposed not only on the production on Pieno Žvaigždės, but also on the production of Rokiškio Pienas. You might have heard of Rokiškio Sūris. As a matter of fact, Rokiškio Sūris was a supplier to a huge pizza chain in the United States. I believe it was Domino's, Domino's Pizza. They bought their cheese from Rokiškio Pienas. So far, there is no information about lifting the ban on other dairy exports of Rokiškio Pienas and Šilutės Rambynas. Bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, the point is that the Russians use bans and all kinds of restrictions on imports of Lithuanian products as political pressure on Lithuania for natural gas. And I remind you again, for probably the 100th time, that Lithuania pays more for natural gas, which it is forced to buy from Russia, because there's nowhere else to buy it from, at the highest prices in the European Union. Finally, we talked a little bit about this last week. In Lithuania, rail travel is still very important. A lot of people travel by rail. Here in Los Angeles, you don't think about hopping on a train and going over to Sacramento or something. Over there, it's common, and it's cheap, and that's why people do it. Baltic leaders discuss major rail project in joint meeting. This is a big story. Baltic Prime Ministers Andrus Ansip, Laimonda Straujuma, and Algirdas Butkevičius met again today, and that was back in January 30th, a couple days ago, to discuss joint transport and political plans. The Rail Baltic project, which connects the Baltic states and Western Europe, and with Western Europe ultimately, and the cooperation in using the digital signatures will be discussed at the meeting in Tallinn, Estonia. The Minister of Poland, Donald Tusk, will also join the leaders and discuss cooperation issues. The Rail Baltic project hopes to ensure better opportunities for the development and competitiveness of the region through faster passenger and freight connections on the railways. The prime ministers hope to come to an agreement over the creation of a joint venture to carry out the project. Future steps for better involvement with Poland in the Rail Baltic planning and development activities will also be discussed at the meeting of the Baltic and Polish prime ministers. Cooperation in the field of IT is another essential discussion topic. The prime ministers of Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania will discuss the activity plans on how to reach mutual recognition and cross-border usage of digital signatures between all the Baltic states. The situation in Ukraine, of course, the European Union climate and energy policy, the common energy projects also are being discussed at the meeting of the Baltic and Polish prime ministers. Last week, the European Commission published a communication providing a framework for the European energy and climate policy and their plans and hopes until 2030. The plans include proposals for setting the EU-wide target levels in terms of reducing greenhouse gases and increasing the share of renewable energy. The package also included an analysis of the impact of energy prices on the EU's competitiveness and an initiative for shale gas exploration and production. I repeat, an initiative for shale gas exploration and production. And for those of you who haven't been paying attention, remember that it has been discovered that along the Polish-Lithuanian border potentially lie the largest shale gas reserves in all of Europe. The informal meeting of the Baltic prime ministers will take place within the framework of the Baltic Council of Ministers. The Baltic Cooperation Presidency changes at the beginning of each calendar year, and the Presidency coordinates the cooperation at all levels. Estonia will be the president this year. Well, regular listeners of the program will know that I always talk about getting out of Vilnius. You know, often I think we get stuck there, especially younger people. You know, they go to the clubs and the bars and, you know, the pretty girls and all that stuff, and they hang around Vilnius, I think, a little bit too often, and I think it's very important to get out. And here's an excuse, Panevėžys, which is, like, pretty much in the center of Lithuania, will become the Lithuanian capital of culture on 2014, on the 31st of January, so basically now. As the cultural program is to start with a festival of fire and light, the Baltic Course reports with reference to the news agency ELTA. The opening ceremony will be crowned with musical fireworks, and that already happened already last night. The opening ceremony was attended by Lithuania's president Dalia Grybauskaitė, the minister of culture Šarūnas Birutis, and representatives of other ministries and embassies. Quote, in winter, when everybody is so tired of dark and cold, and an evening full of light, good emotions, plays, nostalgia and music will be welcomed. We shall declare the start of the project, which is the result of concentrated efforts and contribution of key cultural, educational, and other institutions, said Loreta Krasauskienė, the head of culture and art department at Panevėžys City Municipality. According to Panevėžys.lt, so that's www.panevėžys.lt. For the first time in history, the city will present a 3D light installation, a visual performance that is set to recall the history of the city since its foundation in 1503 until today. Now, obviously, you've all missed it. It already happened, but it's a big deal. I spent a lot of time in Panevėžys. As a matter of fact, I had a business in Panevėžys. It's in the center of Lithuania. It's a great, vibrant town. It's a good-sized town, and it's very interesting. It's got an old town section and great shopping areas, and it's very much worth visiting. A more serious story, a Spanish laboratory has confirmed
that the African swine fever, African swine flu, so to speak, virus is found in two wild boars hunted in southern Lithuania is of the same strain as those found in Russia and Belarus, which border Lithuania. Samples of 901 wild boars and 407 pigs were examined in January, but only two tested positive for the African swine fever. A group of veterinary specialists from the EU, Russia, and Belarus are working in Vilnius this week. They're looking into possible reasons for the African swine flu outbreak and the safety and preventative measures taken by Lithuania. Further steps to prevent the spread of the virus are also being discussed. Lithuania's authorities on Wednesday declared a state of emergency in six districts and decided to exterminate all wild boars there. I repeat, they are exterminating. In other words, they are shooting, killing all the wild boars in that area. Russia, Belarus, and Ukraine have banned pork imports from Lithuania. Exports of animal feed from potentially affected areas to EU member states have been stopped. As a little side note, I will tell you that back in the early 90s, I was lost in Žemaitija. Now, if you know where Žemaitija is, most people will tell you that that's where the real Lithuania is, and that's up in the northern part of the country. I was lost on a side road and ran into a pack of wild boars. That was one of the most exciting moments of my life. I'll never forget it. According to FDI magazine, Vilnius leads in investment performance. The Financial Times, FDI magazine, has placed Vilnius on top of the list of its rankings by investment performance, listing Tallinn, Gdansk below. The UK publication, Financial Times magazine, brings news about foreign direct investment and makes a global overview of its investments. That magazine has published information about 10 medium-sized, I repeat, 10 medium-sized European cities. That's the category leading in investment performance, infrastructure, and business-friendly environments. Ranking in the latter category placed Vilnius 6, number 6, leaving behind Bristol and Edinburgh. In the category of infrastructure, Vilnius took the 10th place overall among the top 10 northern European cities. With the exception of cities in England and Ireland, Vilnius finds itself in the 8th position, leaving such cities as Malmo and Oslo in Norway behind. How do you like that? Vilnius is a good place to invest. Anybody who's been there would know that. A great, friendly place and a beautiful city at that. Winter, spring, summer, or fall. This is Kęstutis Reivydas for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, you can hear us live on the internet at www.ktym.com. Thank you for listening and thank you for your support. Bye bye.
Partizanų būrys paklebeno duris, paklebeno į sodžiaus pirkelę. Atidarė duris jiems liūdna mergina, čia broliukai nuvargę sušalę.